Message. Good morning, both here at Hobart and in the Valley. I was at the Valley last week, had a lot of fun up there with everybody in the Valley. You guys are absolutely awesome. Actually, Jamie, come back. I haven't finished yet. And where's Jack? Where's Jack? And Lisa, are you able to just set a camera and come this way? You saw the video and you saw that youth starting, and Dan's not with us this morning. Dan's off ministering somewhere else this morning. And as you know, that we're going to release Dan for some of this year. He's going to go and do some travel and have long service leave and see what God does in a new season for him. But the really cool thing is that Jamie and Jack are stepping in to youth leaders here for the Hobart Youth. And I think most of us often step into things almost before we think we're completely ready and all those things that are part of that. That's often the way that God does stuff. But, you know, what he's been doing in you two means you are ready. And so I'm really proud of Jack and Jamie and what they're going to do. So we're going to pray for them as they step into youth this year. Also, we've got Lisa, and Jemima's not here this morning, but Lisa and Jemima are going to work with Jack and Jamie and be close as an oversight, just to really make sure that they're doing well and just to be there and be a presence in that. So I know we're going to have a fantastic year in youth and as a church. So why don't you reach out your hands? We're going to pray for Jack and Jamie and for Lisa. Lord, we thank you for Jack and Jamie. We thank you for Lisa. We thank you for Jemima. And we thank you for the incredible faithfulness of Dan over so many years. And this is a new season. There are new things. And Lord, I pray that they would confidently step into that, that you would give them wisdom, you know, beyond their years, and that you would just bless what they do. And we just pray as they serve you in this that it would be a joy rather than a burden. And you would lift that off them and you would guide them. Keep them safe. And we pray for your favour on all that happens in youth this year. We pray that so many lives will be set free, that young people would be discipled. And more than anything, that they will hear from you. They will know about the hope and the future you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Have you, I'm sure you have, felt a little bit overwhelmed sometimes? I'm sure Katie's experiencing some of that as a recruit police officer and been sent out into the fronts of fires and all the stuff that's going on. You know, there are things in life that can make us feel overwhelmed. You know, the start of something or just when, you know, when a season of life just turns to custard or something worse. You know, there's times that we feel very overwhelmed. And this morning, I want to start by talking about Joshua, who was the very faithful servant of Moses, a successful general, but he felt very overwhelmed. So after Moses died, Joshua was in a situation where he had over 1 million people who were relying on his leadership. How overwhelmed would you feel if you had 1 million people? And it's not just like sort of being prime minister, because, you know, we know that in Australia we can change prime ministers regularly and life goes on. But you know, these people were very reliant on someone who was definitively leading and taking them somewhere. And, you know, had 1 million people and they didn't have a homeland. They didn't necessarily have the hope that security that a homeland brings. They didn't have a clear timeline as to when this would change. But what they did have was promise and blessing. They actually had a promise over their lives, over their future, and they had the blessing of God on them. And I think, I really believe this is a word for us as a church this morning. So many of you are in this place, both individually, and we're here together as a church. I think that they'd been living in a time and a season of preservation. They had been in the wilderness, as many of you would know. They'd escaped Egypt, and they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. And we're told, the stuff that we don't sort of think about, we think about these guys sort of living in the wilderness and wandering around out there is the description that the Bible often brings. But we're told in that season that their shoes didn't wear out. Imagine that. If you were sort of one of the younger people in that, maybe, you know, you were 14, so your feet had pretty much got to the size that they were going to grow to, and you got a pair of shoes, and here you are, 40 years later, you're 60, and you're wearing the same pair of shoes, and you've been wearing them in the desert and the wilderness every day of your life, and they're still brand new. It's like looking down, man, these, you know, like these Nikes have still got the logo on them. They're still bright and shiny. You know, they didn't wear out. Every day they would wake up in the morning, six mornings a week, and food would be literally laid out on the ground, and all they had to do was go and collect it and prepare it and eat it. They lived in a season of preservation. They walked through areas where there were people that would have been hostile to their presence. You know, you don't have a million people walk through your bottom paddock. And you don't go. You don't just think, hey, that's cool. You go down and you have a look and you think, you know, these people are going to strip the place. Let's get them out of here. You know, people were hostile to them, but they were still there. They were preserved. And they understood preservation. They had miraculously escaped attack. But, you know, God wanted to move them from a season of provision to a season of promise. And I think many of us have experienced God's preservation. We've experienced God's provision through seasons of life. You know, we've often been through tough things, but you know what? God has been faithful. But I think right now he's wanting to say, I need you to go from a season of preservation to a season of promise. Where it's actually more than the fact that God will be faithful and he will sustain us. It's no, God is actually going to put an authority and a presence and a future and a hope and a promise that takes me beyond where I am now. That takes me into a future that changes a city, that changes a state, that changes a family, that changes generations, where we walk into those things and we move from just preservation to promise and blessing. The problem is, you know, the Israelites had that opportunity 40 years before. They had the promise, they had the blessing, they had the opportunity, and we're told that it was their unbelief that meant that they went back and they had to settle for preservation. Did you know what? God will preserve you. He will look after you. He will be faithful to you regardless of how you respond to this season. You know, he will be with you. He won't leave you. The Bible is really clear. It says he will never leave you or forsake you. He will be there. But he actually wants us to move from just that place of preservation where we grab hold of the promise and we're able to be not just beneficiaries of his blessing, but we can actually be distributors of his blessing. You know, often we understand in Pentecostal churches, hey, bless me, Lord, where it's not about being blessed. It's actually knowing that we're blessed. We actually don't have to hold our hands up and say, God, bless me. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? We are already blessed. He wants you to move from just asking him to bless you to being a distributor of his blessing. In other words, his blessing is already on you. It goes where you go. Like I was saying to Rachel and Luca, the blessing of God will go into whatever house you move into, and you become a distributor of that blessing wherever you are. So they had to move from just being beneficiaries of that blessing to being distributors of that blessing. And God spoke to Joshua, and he reminded them that his promises still stand. And they continue from generation to generation. Now, as Joshua was feeling overwhelmed, this is what God said to him. And he spoke very specifically into his situation, and he had some quite clear things to say. And as I've read through this, and you could interpret it in a little bit different ways, but I've actually come up with eight things that I think are really important that God said to Joshua. And I think as we go into 2019, these eight things can actually define how you go through in 2019 and beyond. And just have a listen to the text, and then I will speak into that. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead," stating the obvious. "Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Listen to this. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to either the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it night, day and night, so that you will be able to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So these eight things that God says quite specifically to Joshua, and I always sort of am a bit amused at the first one. Here he is, and God sort of appears, and it's obviously it's not just like, oh, I feel this from God. You know, there was a sense of God's really speaking to him. And the first thing he says is, "Moses is dead." And I guess if I was Joshua, I would have said, "Yeah, I know that. I'm feeling the weight of that." But why was God actually saying that? And I think he starts with the obvious, but he addresses the present. He starts with the obvious, but he addresses the present. He says, "Joshua, yeah, it's obvious Moses is dead, but your present situation is that Moses is dead." And I think sometimes we don't actually get in touch with the reality of our present situation. I think there is a difference between living in faith and looking to promises and being disconnected from the reality of our present. And in many ways, the more you're honest about the reality of your present, the more you enable God to work in it to take you into your future. I think if we're living in a disconnected situation in the presence, we're actually not able to be honest before God to allow him to work in it to move us to where we're going. So first of all, he says to Joshua, "Yeah, Moses is dead. You need to acknowledge that and you need to feel the brevity of that, but then you're not going to stay in that place. That season is over. That season is finished. I'm doing a new thing and I'm taking you into a new season." This was a new season. It was a season of promise and possession. They were moving out of a season of mere provision. And here's the word, you know, like Moses is dead. You know, for many of you, you've experienced the faithfulness of God, but you haven't actually really felt his blessing into your situation. Moses is dead. Some of you have been through glory days. Some of you have been through some rubbish. We've all been through stuff. Even as a church, we can look back and say, "Oh yeah, wasn't it great when? Oh yeah, wasn't it good when we did those Energizer conferences at the deck? Wasn't it good when? Wasn't it good when we had this person and that person? Wasn't it good?" You know, God has been faithful, so faithful to us in the past. But you know what? That season is finished. We can praise him and thank him for that. But you know, what he's going to do in the future is going to eclipse anything he's done in the past. You know, the season is ahead of us. That season is finished. Let's not live in the past. Let's not be disconnected from our present, but let's be in touch with our present. Let's be not tied to our past and let's be ready for the future. Number two, he says to Joshua, he says, "Hey Joshua, it's your time." It's not Moses' time. It's not even the time of those who are yet to come. It is your time, not someone else's. He says, therefore, the time has come for you to lead the people. And I think often we live so much of our life waiting for our time to come. Whereas if actually we're listening to what God's saying, if we're ready, he says, you know what? Now is your time. Now's the time for you. Jack and Jane, we could say, oh yeah, you could do this and you need that and all those things that we see in the natural, but there's a sense of it's your time. In other words, step into that. This is your time. This is your time to lead. And for many of us here this morning, we're not waiting. You're not even necessarily waiting on someone to bring a prophetic word, or you're not waiting for things to seem right. You know, there is a sense that God is with you and this is your time and you need to step into it. You just need to step into what is there for you to take on. It is your time. The third thing is that he says, my promises still stand. And we also read in the New Testament that in Hebrews, it says that, you know what, God cannot lie. And it says that he actually swears by his own name. And he actually makes an oath about the promises that he makes to us. And they cannot be revoked, because his name is so solid and secure that when that has gone out, it cannot be taken away. And there are things that he said about your life and your future that cannot be taken away. You can choose not to live in the reality and the promise of that, but those things, that promise over your life, cannot be removed. And they go from generation to generation. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1:20, and I love what the Passion Translation says about this. It says, for all God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring glory. Listen to that again. For all God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring him glory. What's the power there? The power is when we line our will and our mouth and our thinking up with the promises of God that stand, we bring an incredible power to that. You know, our amen, we can say, oh yeah, amen. But our amen is, yes, we are agreeing with you and we are lining our trajectory up and our future up with the promises that you have made. And then we get into a place where there is a strength and a power in that place, because his promises stand and they go from generation to generation. Number four, wherever you set your foot, I'll be with you. I clearly remember a number of years ago sitting in a Connect group, and somebody was sharing about a new season in their life and what God had called them into. And, you know, they had these verses and things circled in their Bible, and they were opening them up and they were going through them, and they were speaking with, you know, with great conviction and confidence and clarity on what they felt God had called them into. And I remember other people in that group saying, well, I wish God would speak to me like that. You know, it's like he always seems to be showing someone else these verses. And I don't think it's the fact that he speaks to some people and not to others. I think it's actually, he says, I want you to live your life with conviction. You know, if you feel that he's called you into something and it lines up with his will, and you know there's a sense of him in it, you know, it's a sense of, you know, you claim the verse and he says, you know what, if you will move with conviction, I will bless you. And, you know, for us as a church, as we go into a season of a new building, I think, you know, in many ways, yeah, he's got some specific things for us, but you know what, there's a sense of he just wants us to have conviction. And he says, when you go with conviction, I will be with you, my presence will be there, and I will bless you. And you know, I think there are a whole lot of things in our life where he's not trying to put us on railroad tracks. He's not trying to say, you know, your life is so defined, you've got to wear red socks on Tuesdays and yellow socks on Fridays, and you ought to wear a particular brand of underpants. You know, God doesn't really care about that, I don't think. Sorry if I've burst your bubble. But he says, you know what, if you want to wear red underpants, I will bless you in red underpants. You know, if you want to wear green socks, I will bless you in green socks. You know, there are things that, you know, I don't read anywhere in the Word of God where he actually says, you know what, you are going to be a terrible sinner if you wear red undies. You know, there are things sometimes we can get so wound up about whether we get it right or not, but we actually just want to get in line with the will of God. We want to live with conviction. He says, I want to bless you in what you do. And I felt earlier... Yeah, it was the year before last now, but when we moved house and we were, you know, praying into that, and God's really had his hand on what happened with our move. But the word from God was, you know what, if Dave, you feel that's where you need to be, I want to bless that. I think there are sometimes he does really want to guide us quite specifically for reasons, but a lot of times where he says it's more about you deciding and you know that you take his blessing and his promise with you. Wherever you put your foot, I want to bless that. Yeah. Wherever you put your foot, when you go into the supermarket, I want to be a blessing in that place, because you go into that place and you take my presence and my authority with it. When you go into a new job, I want you put your foot down there and you take that on confidently, because the authority of God goes with you. So let's be clear this year. Let's live confidently. Let's not live apologetically. You know, let's decide. It's not about living arrogantly. It's not about living without humility. But there's a sense of, you know what, God has asked me to walk, and I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to know that he's giving me authority in these places where he's called me to go. And that actually allows us to be more humble, because we're not trying to put some sort of false show on. We're not trying to, you know, build ourselves up. We just know that God is there with us. And there's a confidence that goes with that. Wherever you put your foot, I will be with you. Number five, be strong and courageous. That's probably the main thing that people preach on out of this particular passage. The reason they do is it appears three times in that text. As God's speaking to Joshua, he says, be strong and courageous. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. And he says, you know, be strong and very courageous and do not be discouraged. And theologians and Bible scholars tell us that there is a precedent when something is repeated three times. If you grew up with a mum, you might know when she repeats something three times, it was serious. But you know what God was saying? You know, there's strength in that. That when it is repeated like that, it means it's really significant. And he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I think there's a whole lot that God does, but there's some things that he can't do. He can enable his strength to work through us, but there's an element of where we've actually got to speak to our own soul, and we've got to say, you know what, I'm going to be strong enough and I'm going to be courageous enough to turn to him in this situation.
That's right.
There's an account in the Old Testament, some of you would know it, and King David, the king of Israel, he's got his back to the wall. He'd been away fighting on some military campaign, and when he came back, these raiders had come in and they'd taken everything. They'd taken the people, they'd taken their kids, and they'd taken all their stuff. Imagine that. As you know, you've been out fighting, you've been out waging, you know, the noble war, you've been making sacrifices, you've been putting yourself in danger, you've been doing all that stuff, and you're absolutely spent, and you just want to come back and see your family. You want to get to that safe place. When they get back, it is all gone. Out of their frustration and fatigue, they want to stone David. When you are very fatigued, you actually don't make good decisions. Anyone know that? A couple of weeks ago, I did a crazy bike ride around Tasmania. And in the middle day of this ride, it was a three-day ride, and the middle day we rode 300 k's, and the last part of the ride was the hardest part. We rode into Strathgordon, and Strathgordon has hill after hill after hill, roller after roller after roller, and it does not finish till you get there. And it was the most fatigued I've felt on a bike. And we get there, and we're staying at the Wilderness Lodge out there, and we're thinking, oh, finally we're here, and we got there just before dark. And we go in, and the guy at the bar said, oh, you know, your room's over there, you just go left and you go up there, rah, rah. And he gave us pretty poor directions. And so we go into these sort of corridors where they were sort of the old hydro dormitory sort of places. And we're in there with our bikes, and we're sort of going up and down all these passages trying to find our room number. And all we wanted to do was have a shower and get something to eat. You know, we were so spent. And you know, and everybody is getting really upset because we can't find our room. You know, it's not a big situation, but we're getting mad because we can't find our room, because we just want to get in and have a shower and have something to eat. And, you know, we are literally tired and emotional. And we're not making any progress. We find ourselves in the staff quarters and, you know, open a door. Oh, sorry, mate, you know. And so I go back to the guy behind the bar, and I have to say to him, look, I need new directions. And I'm really sorry. I'm tired and emotional. I don't want to get angry, but I just need to know where it is. And I was luckily, I probably didn't do it that well, but I was self-aware enough to know that I was dangerous in that place. I couldn't have an argument over nothing. You know, when you're fatigued, we actually let go of our values and our things that are important. And in that moment, David's men were going to stone the very man that sustained them because they were disappointed, they were discouraged, and they were lost. You know what? Over this year, new discouragements will come. Disappointments will come. That's life. But you know what? We've got to be so aware that in those moments of fatigue, that we actually don't throw the stones at the very thing that gives us life and a future.
That's great.
And then there's David, about to get stoned. He wasn't smoking anything, they were going to throw stones at him. And he had to strengthen himself. It says this in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. It says, David was now in great danger because all his men were bitter about losing their sons and their daughters, and they began to talk about stoning him. But, Anthony and I talked about this the other morning, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Be strong and courageous. See, often the strength is actually just saying, you know what? I don't even get this, I don't understand this, but I'm going to speak to my soul, and I'm going to say to my soul, you know what? My God has promises over my life. My God remains good. My God is for me. My God will not leave me, and I'm actually going to find strength in him. And it's as we move our heart from that place of disappointment, it doesn't mean the pain won't be there, it doesn't mean it's not going to still talk to us, but as we do that, we strengthen ourselves. And in that moment, it was almost like the authority and the anointing of God came on to David, and he had the confidence to, in that place of disappointment, to say, hey guys, just a sec, don't stone me just yet. You know what? We're going to go and get our stuff back. We're going to get our sons and daughters back. We're going to get our wives back. We're going to get the whole thing back. And he had this supernatural confidence where he led them into that place, and everything was restored. And that happened as he found strength in the Lord. In that moment, God couldn't even lift him out of that place by himself. He had to speak to his own soul. He had to line it up with the will of God, and then he went. And as people here go to new places this year, what do you need to do? Well, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to line your soul up with the promises of God. You need to get strengthened in that place, and then you go into what he's calling you to go. Number six, do not be discouraged. You will go through disappointment. You will go through sadness and grief, and all those things will happen. But you know what? We've got to decide that we're going to feel pain, but we've actually got to encourage ourselves in God. And I want to add something to that too. We have got to be encouragers. You know, encouragement, again, isn't sugarcoating stuff. But encouragement is actually just getting alongside someone and listening and saying, you know what? God is still for you. He's still there, no matter what's happened. He's actually going to live. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to tell you that it's finished if I don't have a direct word from God on that. You know, but you know, God is for you. I know he's good. And there are times we need somebody else to come alongside us and agree with us on those things. Yeah, don't be discouraged. And that, what does that mean? It means that we encourage ourselves and we encourage others. And we really develop a spirit of encouragement. Number seven, be careful to be obedient. And I share this at the peril of my wife. Because she thinks I tell too many stories about the way I used to drive cars. But I developed a pattern of driving when I was younger. And it wasn't particularly a good pattern. It was a pattern of having disregard for some of the laws of our land. But as I have matured last year, yeah, on the 29th of December, I try to have a much stronger regard for the laws of our land. But what I've found is that I have patterns that are inside me for many years. And I have to be careful. And I reckon I've got to be more careful than most of you just because of patterns that have come into my life over many years of disregard. So when I just jump in my car and go for a drive, and my mind goes to whatever, I just always find myself speeding. And if the Holy Spirit, in the name of Alex, is not with me, I have to remind myself, I've got to be careful. It's probably taken me a lot of years to sort of work that stuff out. And probably even when I was younger, I thought, oh, if my motives are good and my heart is good, you know, it'll be all right. You know, God understands. He gets that. And at one level, that's sort of true. But when you actually read what he said to Joshua, he said, actually, Joshua, I want you to be careful. I want you to, first of all, understand what my law is. I want you to understand what it's saying. And I want you to choose to be careful to obey. And there are so many things where, you know, we can actually just get ourselves in trouble because we didn't actually take the time to understand what the Word of God really said about something. Or we didn't just take the time to really know it so that it's in our life. You see, the more that you know something and understand it, the less you've actually got to think about something in the moment to be able to make the right decision. And that's what he's saying. He said, you know, be careful, Joshua. I want you to continue to understand my Word. I want you to continue to meditate on the Lord. I want you to continue to have it in your system. Because, you know, when you're in battle and you're needing to make a decision that affects over 1 million people, you just need to have this stuff inside you so that it is second nature. And then when you're thinking, you need to choose to be careful. And I'm not, by nature, I'm not that much of a careful person. Things like WHS, you know, stuff like that, you know, it's like I have actually needed to be more focused on that in more recent years. And I understand, you know, understand the importance of it. But in the natural, I'm like, yeah, just do it, it'll be all right. And I think sometimes we almost take that disregard to our walk with God. He says, I want you to be careful. You don't have to be paranoid. You don't have to be anal. You just need to choose to be careful and understand it and have that part of your life. And number eight, the team can join me, please. I love this. He says, you will succeed. You will succeed. Now, I'm not a great cook. You know, I know the basics. I can boil water and I can chop up an onion. And I can actually cook okay when I follow a recipe. Now, Alex is a much, much better cook than me. She hardly ever uses recipes. You know, she just does it. And she tastes and she smells and she says it needs this herb or that. And that's the way that she cooks. And, you know, I sort of get that, but I'm not that good. But with the limited skills that I've got, I can actually cook okay, pretty good, if I follow a recipe. And I cooked dinner for us this week and I thought it turned out pretty well. And Alex said, oh, did you follow a recipe? I said, yes. And I'm praising myself up and she's sort of saying, well, if you follow the recipe, you can't really go wrong. I know some people do, but she was a bit nicer than that. You were encouraged, yeah. But here's God saying to Joshua, you know what, in your humanity, I've actually given you a recipe for success. I've given you some things that if you take them to heart and you live them, that you not might succeed. Sometimes we think, you know, if we put things together and a bit of luck and a fair breeze, as we used to say. My dad used to say that. He probably still does. Bit of luck and fair breeze, it'll be all right. Now, what God's saying, you know what? If you put these things in place, you will succeed. You can expect success. Don't live in the past, but acknowledge your present and look forward to the future. Step into your time. You're not waiting for it to be your time. It is your time to step into the season that is in front of you right now. God's promises continue to stand over your life and they go from generation to generation. Wherever you set your foot, in other words, where you go, the presence and the authority and the goodness of God goes with you. Be strong and courageous. Speak to your soul. Don't be discouraged. I'm not saying don't feel the pain, but we've got to choose to actually speak to our soul in those times of discouragement. Be careful to be obedient. Be careful to walk this stuff out. And as we do that, we will succeed. And I just believe there are people here this morning, and some of you almost feeling like, I don't know if I can step into success. And I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins. But I do want you to get hold of the confidence and the authority and the presence that God wants you to live in. I think in the season ahead of us, let's not be looking to the past, but let's hold on to and look forward to His promises. Let's understand that He has asked us to take possession and live with authority and not live apologetically. Let's strengthen our soul in the Lord, find encouragement in Him, and then we'll experience success. And I want people this morning who, and this is not something I'm meaning everybody has to stand for, but it might be. But if God's speaking to you right now and you just feel like you need to stand up for this year and step into, you know, a godly success, why don't you just do that now? Because I'm going to pray for people. just decide, okay, I'm going to step into that. Maybe there are promises. Maybe it's like the verse we read from Joel where we got to say, hey, enough's enough. You know, I know I'm going to experience restoration in that season. Let's stand up. So I know that there is a godly success for every one of you. It's your time. Lord Jesus, I thank you as people stand right across this room right now. I thank you that you are moving people right now from just a place of provision and even a place where they've experienced faithfulness, but you are moving them to a place of promise and blessing. Lord, I thank you that your promise over every person standing here right now is yes and amen. And right now, humbly, we choose to line our will and our voice and our tongue and our thinking up with your promises. We thank you that you won't leave us. We thank you that we are sons and daughters of God. We thank you that you have a hope and a future for us. We thank you that you've given us the authority. You want us to take possession. You want us to place our foot down. You want us to step into new things. You want us to live not apologetically, but in a confidence of who we are in Jesus Christ. I pray that that would be experienced, that would be felt, and that would be owned at a core level in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for anybody here right now who is experiencing a discouragement. I pray right now that they would feel your encouragement in the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you that everybody who stands here right now is worthy to step in to your success, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.